Hi everyone, I'm Elena Aguilar, and this is the Bright Morning Podcast. Alright, in today's episode, I am diving into the core of what makes a conversation transformational. So, as you may know, the model of coaching that I write about and teach is transformational coaching. But what does it mean to have transformational conversations? This episode is for you. If you ever feel like your conversations are transactional, or if you feel like you give a lot of advice and you don't see people act on it. Before we dive in, I want to quickly thank friend of the podcast, Gina D. from Nebraska. Your support makes this show possible. And to learn more about becoming a friend of the podcast, check out the link in the show notes for this episode. All right, let's get into the episode. Okay, so many years ago, I was in a coaching conversation that felt like it was going nowhere. It was actually, I should say, a coaching relationship that felt like it was going nowhere. And it was almost the end of the school year. I had already decided I was leaving that job. I was done with the school I was at. And I remember being in that conversation and just sensing myself checking out. I felt like I was floating away and just going through the motions. And then there was this moment when I felt like I heard a part of myself, maybe the wiser part of myself, wake up and say, hey, yeah, you're leaving this school and yeah, you've tried with this teacher and yet you can make this conversation count. Elena, you can still show up in a way that makes this interaction meaningful. You could still ask a question that could help this teacher see his students for who they truly are. Don't give up yet. Don't give up on this conversation and what's possible. Make this conversation count. And I remember that moment. I felt like I was like swirling back into myself, spinning back into the moment, into the conversation, because that message from that other part of me resonated. And I asked the teacher a question. And it wasn't like a brilliant question or anything particularly memorable. I was back in the conversation. You know, and the truth is, I don't know if in the end that conversation truly counted in terms of what happened to the teacher. I don't know. Sometimes you're not going to know the impact you have, and you got to just accept that. But after that day, this saying got stuck in my head. This every conversation counts. Or an expansion of that, you can make every conversation count. And I would say that to myself. I would tell myself, make this conversation count. And maybe I realized what I was telling myself is that I can't give up hope that a conversation could mean something. And I have to stay anchored in my belief that conversations are the vehicles through which we make change in the world. So this slogan, this phrase, every conversation counts, is our motto at Bright Morning. It is a guide for how we show up. It is what I invite folks into in all of my workshops. The conviction that we can, that we should make every conversation count towards building a more just and equitable world. That we can learn the skills to make every conversation count, to build a world, to create a world that is characterized by compassion and curiosity, a world in which each of us is seen for who we truly are, we can make every conversation count towards that goal, that vision. I want to come back to this in a moment. I recently had this other big insight into this phrase, this motto. I was in Costa Rica visiting my family, and I had a lot of time with my father. And, you know, I'm sure that I am like many of you who you find yourself back in a family dynamic, in a relationship that you've been in your whole life, and you find yourself kind of slipping back into those old ways of being and those old roles. So I had all this time with my father. A lot of it was wonderful. And then there were these moments when I felt myself drifting away, kind of checking out because I was getting triggered or I was, you know, I was getting triggered. That's the truth. And in those moments, I found myself telling myself, this is an opportunity to deepen our connection. And I can make this conversation count. And, you know, my father is 81. I see him maybe every year and a half. And I'm really aware of mortality, right? I'm like, every time I see him, I'm like, is this going to be the last time? And so that challenges me in a sense to really think about every conversation, every interaction. And I don't want to regret. One day, I don't want to think, oh, that was the last time I saw him and I was really checked out. I want to make these conversations count. But I realize it's more than just that. It's more than just in that moment being afraid of death, you know, and loss of relationship. I realize there's a connection between the world I want to create, one that is just and equitable, and the relationships that I want to have, which are characterized by authenticity and vulnerability and connection. And sometimes when you're committed to making a conversation count, sometimes what happens that makes it count is what is happening inside of you, the way that you are thinking about yourself and others. Maybe the insights you get about yourself and others, maybe the compassion that you can stay rooted in. Sometimes what makes a conversation count is what happens in your relationship with the other person, is the actual words that are exchanged, the outcome of it. And sometimes what makes it count is that you stay in the conversation. Your awareness is there, even if your awareness is of the feelings, of the turmoil, the conflict, the dynamics, but that, at least for me, that you don't float away, you don't check out, you don't disengage. It's a prerequisite. Staying in the conversation is a prerequisite for making what happens between you, the conversation, making it count. You can make it count by staying in it. Because then what you're more likely to say will be meaningful towards this end of connection, of equity and justice in our schools, in our world. So many of the insights that I come to about coaching and what we need in our schools are relevant to me in so many aspects of my life. So as I said, this phrase has become, it's become in a sense like a mandate for me, a mantra really, to keep me in the conversation, to keep me engaged, to keep me looking for entry points for connection and expansion and possibility. And this phrase, every conversation counts, grounds me in my core beliefs about change and coaching. So I'm going to come back to this idea in just a moment, this idea of every conversation counting, but I need to take a little detour for a moment and talk about coaching and transformational coaching and what characterizes it. What distinguishes transformational coaching from other approaches to coaching? Now, let me reference. Okay, I think about coaching as a form of professional development. Coaching is a way that we help people grow, learn, reflect, grow. And so I listen to a lot of coaching conversations. Folks that I am teaching in my workshops, other people who are engaged in the process of learning transformational coaching. So I listen to a lot of these conversations. And when I am listening to them, one of the questions that goes through my mind, one of the things that I'm thinking about as I'm observing is, in this conversation, who's got the answers? Or who thinks they have the answers? So sometimes I'm observing a conversation between a coach and a coachee. And I can hear and I see that the way that the coach is asking questions reflects that she thinks she's got the answers. And I can just see how she is trying so hard to lead someone in a certain direction. It's like she's fully got the reins of the conversation in her hands and she's pulling hard. And when I see someone coaching in this way, when I see someone coaching and I'm like, oop, she thinks she's got the answers, I also think, I recognize this is not transformational coaching. So why not? Okay. A transformational coach understands that the journey is the destination. That what happens in the process of coaching is what happens. That if the process, okay, if the journey, the process, if the client is being directed or led, then that client or that coachee loses an opportunity for self-direction. They lose an opportunity to activate their own agency, to step into their own power. And so if in a conversation, if on the journey, if the coach is driving the show, directing the conversation, providing the answers, then really the way I think about it is the coach has taken something from the client. They've robbed them of an opportunity. They've robbed them of the opportunity to step into their power. You know, I gotta say, I grapple with this too. This is hard. The truth is, as a coach, you don't have all the answers. You don't know everything. And the only way the answer can be found, the only way to get to that destination is to find it together, to move together. Your role as a coach is not to give answers. It's to facilitate a learning process. But I see so many coaches who seem to believe that they have all the answers, who go into conversations trying to fix everything. But you can't be a transformational coach if you are a fixer, because a transformational coach has to honor their client's ability to address whatever is going on, to fix their own problems. You can definitely be a guide, you can help, you can facilitate, but you can't have all the answers all the time. Every situation is unique. Every situation is the result of so many factors. You'll only be able to see a handful of them. Imagine what it would be like. I mean, imagine how much easier it would be if you didn't feel like you had to have all the answers, if you didn't have to have them. It would be so much easier to be a coach, in a sense, right? Like, you don't need to know everything. You don't need to give everyone the answers. You need to know how to guide someone to find the answers. So this doesn't mean that sometimes you don't make a suggestion. You do. When you are with someone else and you're trying to figure out the answers to something, sometimes you might say, hey, what about trying this? Or have you thought of that? But it's the way that you think about what you're offering. You're not offering it thinking this is right and I need to get you to do this. That is a perspective, a stance that has some elements within it of superiority and inferiority. I know more than you. I have some insight, knowledge, wisdom, experience that tells me I know more. We want to be real careful when we start moving in that territory. Maybe you do know more. Maybe you have more experience. And still, the situation that your client is in is far more complex than you will ever understand the elements of. It just is. It's worth unpacking why it is that you might have this tendency to want to provide answers, to fix, to direct forcefully. This tendency can be exasperated if you are in a position in which you have authority over others. If you are a principal, an administrator, a manager, then this gets more complex. Okay, it gets more confusing, gets a little trickier. And the reason is that often the role of someone in a positional authority role, a principal, a manager, often that role is defined by this idea that those are people who fix things. Those are people who take care of things, who need to have the answers to things. So the people in those roles think, well, my job is to deal with all this. Other people look at them as the people who are supposed to fix things, take care of things, get stuff done. So it gets really complicated. And yet, folks in those roles still have to help people grow. And when you are thinking about helping someone grow, that is the optimal time to use coaching strategies. In fact, I would say that a transformational leader, manager, principal uses coaching strategies a great deal of the time. Now, when you're doing that, it can be really hard to switch into a transformational stance. It can be really hard to not try to fix things, to not try to give answers. You can do it. It takes skill, it takes awareness, and when it's done, and I gotta say, I have seen administrators use transformational coaching extremely well. When it's done, it is transformative. The key is to ask yourself this question, who has the answers? So, you know, as I said, this gets more complex, more confusing. If you are a manager or an administrator and you want to develop your expertise as a coach, check out the program I'm doing this summer, which is called Coaching When You're the Boss. And you can find information about that in the show notes. As a boss, as a manager, as an administrator, you can make every conversation count towards building a more just and equitable world. You can make every conversation count towards building relationships that are characterized by connection and compassion and curiosity. It really is a question of developing skills and exploring the foundational premises from which you work. What are those core beliefs about how people will change and what they need in order to grow, to learn, to develop, and to change? So here is my invitation to you. Try a couple of things in the next few conversations that you have. And those can definitely be conversations at work and outside of work. So first, see what happens if you tell yourself to make the conversation count. See what happens if you use that phrase as a mandate. See how that shifts the way you stay engaged in the conversation, the awareness that you bring to it, the way you strive for connection. Connection above all. Connection is a prerequisite to being able to get to the harder, more uncomfortable parts of a conversation that may need to happen. Remember that part of this slogan or this mandate also includes a nudge towards staying open to possibility. So another way of saying it perhaps could be, hey, what might be possible if you made this conversation count? Or don't give up hope that this conversation can count. This conversation can count. It can be a meaningful part of creating the kind of world that we all want to live in. And if all you can do is stay in it, stay aware of how you are showing up, that's good. Start there. That's good. That's a lot. Now, second, in these conversations, I want to encourage you to ask yourself this question about who has the answers. And maybe you want to play with the words in that question. Maybe you want to say to yourself something like, do you think you have the answers right now? Are you directing this conversation because you think you know where it needs to go? Maybe you could say to yourself, can you stay open to possibility? What does this mean? Maybe this sounds so abstract. Like, what does it sound like to have a conversation in which both of you are looking for the answers? Both of you are on a journey together to find solutions or connections. What does that sound like? I would encourage you to listen to some of the previous coaching conversations that have aired on this podcast. Listen to those and see if you can identify the moments when you feel like I, as the coach, was really in a place of partnership with the other person in terms of looking for the answers together. I am going to say you are also going to hear parts where I was taking the mindset of someone who knows it all, okay, who was offering direction. Because as I said to you, I struggle with this too. But maybe now this is a frame through which to listen to some of these coaching conversations that have aired previously on the podcast. When do you hear me making the conversation count by giving the other person the power, the space to find the answers to what they're struggling with? And maybe that'll help make it a little bit less abstract. All right, I gotta tell you, as I'm closing this up, I'm really recalling, sort of in this flash of memory of coaching conversations, that so many of the conversations which for me have been the most powerful have been the ones in which I have relinquished control, where I have really trusted in the process and in what is possible through conversation, to take us somewhere and to help the other person find their answer or to create deeper connection with someone, whether that is a family member, a friend, a teammate. This is a powerful process. Trusting the conversation, trusting yourself that you can make the conversation count is a big part of what it takes to be in this journey. All right. I hope that was helpful. I hope that helps you to make every conversation count. I just want to emphasize again, this is so much about skill building. This is so much about practicing conversations, listening to yourself, getting feedback, listening to other people have these conversations. This is so much about practice, which is just, it's why in all of the workshops that I facilitate, we spend a good amount of time practicing. It's a key way that we learn, and it's a key way that we're going to make our conversations count. And so, again, I just want to say for all of you managers out there, I have a special offering coming up that's just for you. It's called Coaching When You're the Boss. And it's just a one-day power punch of what you need to know about coaching when you are in a role with positional power. So check out the show notes to learn more about that. All right, everyone, thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please just take a couple minutes to rate and review it on Apple Podcasts so that more people will join our community of listeners. And thank you, Leslie Bickford, who is our podcast producer. And thank you to Stacey Goodman, who is the podcast sound recording engineer. All right, be well, everyone.